And thank you, David. Good morning. So what's important in your life right now? Is it the getting ready for Christmas? Making sure everything is just so. Making sure you're ready for, as the world calls it, the big day. Well, I was in St. Albans earlier this week, and I was in a card shop buying my family cards. I got to the front of the queue and realized that I'd missed two granddad cards. And I won't tell you what I said, because it's not appropriate to say in church. But I had to go and get one for his birthday, which is the 24th of December, and then one for Christmas. So I quickly dashed back to the selection to find the granddad cards, and I couldn't find them. I was looking and looking. I could find grandma and granddad. I could find grandma on their own. But could I find granddad on their own? I couldn't. But eventually I found the granddad card, and it was right in front of me all along. But because I'd been rushing, I was too busy and too quick to find the card that I actually needed. I went back to the queue, which was fortunately still short, paid for my cards, and off I went to a meeting I was due to have, which actually started at 11:30, despite me thinking it started at 11. But it did get me thinking, though. We often rush around in Advent to make sure that we don't forget anything. Yet as I realized I'd missed those cards that were right in front of me, when we rush around in Advent to prepare for Christmas, what do we actually miss by going too fast? What do we miss that's right there in front of us by going too quickly? I spoke at men's breakfast yesterday, and I challenged the men to take time to think about what it is that we celebrate at Christmas. Now that might sound quite obvious, because we know we celebrate Jesus coming as a baby in the manger. But what if we take a little bit of time out to stop and to look at the things that we often miss in the Christmas story? Because we know it so well, it's very familiar with us. Oh yeah, it's Christmas, it's the nativity. Gabriel comes to Mary, she tells Joseph, Joseph gets cross, but then he realizes Gabriel comes to visit Joseph. Then they go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then there's no room at the inn, and the baby's born, he's placed in a manger. We know it so well that sometimes the familiarity means that we miss what Jesus is saying to us through that. We often come into December quite busy. And the world tells us the pace has to stay fast as we get ready for Christmas, because it's all about the 25th of December. But when the shops close at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and it's simply too late to do anything, I often get there's a sense of relief in the air. Everybody goes, whew, we've done all that we can, and what we don't have now, it's tough. Because guess what? The world's not going to end if you've forgotten your sprouts. But if we're rushing from one thing to the next, what are we actually missing? A friend of mine on Facebook from my legal days posted yesterday that he was already on Christmas due number 5, and he still had a few more to go. And his big thing was making sure he gets the double numbers of Christmas dues before Christmas. Really? Jesus didn't come to make us busy. Jesus didn't come to make our Decembers hectic. Jesus didn't come to make sure that we have everything just so when it gets to the 25th of December. Jesus comes to give us life, and life in all its fullness. So where have we gone so horribly wrong? Perhaps, like I've said, it starts when we become stale with the idea of Christmas. Because we know it. It comes round each year. It's a tried and tested time when people from outside the church come through our doors to attend once a year because it's the right thing to do. It's very familiar. We know it so well. So actually, what new things are we going to learn this year? Perhaps that's made us a bit weary in all that we do. And maybe it's time for us to readjust our priorities and shift our perspective once again. If we're seeing church as a duty, or serving in the church as a duty, if we're going through the motions of preparing for Christmas, are we thinking of it in the right way, or have we got caught out with the secular way of thinking? Well, I would argue that the answer, if we are seeing it as a duty and going through the motions, is that we've got it horribly, horribly wrong. Perhaps, though, the church has become weary with all that's going on because we're in that constant battle with society to reclaim Christmas for what it truly is. Perhaps as a church, like I said last week, we've lost the message and we've lost the way. So perhaps it's time for the church to reassess where its priorities lie. And rather than running busy programs all the time, we return back to what the Lord is saying to the church. I was caught by something else on Facebook this week, and it said this: the goal of ministry isn't to keep people busy in church activities. Shock, horror, because that's what all churches seem to think it's about. The goal is to equip people to become more like Christ and to live out their purpose as part of the body of Christ. That sums it up perfectly, really. So, friends, the question today is, are you busy doing church activities, or are you being equipped to become more like Christ and to live out your purpose as part of the body of Christ? It's a challenge because it makes us rethink our priorities. It's not about making sure we keep the status quo in the church and doing the things we've always done. It's simply about keeping us busy in church activities. It's not about coming to church knowing what we're going to be doing in our service. It's not about coming along to Christingle. It's not about coming along to Beer and Carols because it's the right thing to do. It's about coming along because it's a witness, because it's the mission of the church to get out there and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I think we've got it wrong. We focus too much on making sure we do the right thing to attract the right people rather than actually listening to what Jesus Christ is saying to the church. We've left Jesus out of the equation, and that's not a good place to be. When was the last time you thought about coming to church to become more like Jesus? And this isn't to make you feel bad, because I imagine it's probably a while ago. When was the last time you came to church thinking, I want to meet with him today? Or did you get up this morning and go, oh, it's Sunday, we need to go to church, we need to leave home at 9:30 to be there on time? Too often, we define ourselves by what we do in the church and how busy we are, rather than what Jesus is asking of us. It's perfectly okay for a season to simply attend church on a Sunday and not serve, if that is what Jesus is asking you to do. But equally, it's okay to come to church and serve on rotas. Not every single one, because nobody can do that. Not even Jesus. Well, maybe Jesus. But it's okay to volunteer for different things. If you've been on the road for ages, it doesn't matter about keeping the status quo. Well, I know what I'm doing. Give somebody else an opportunity. Because we get into that mindset so easily of me and these are the church activities we do, rather than the question of what is God asking us to do in the church in this season. And all of that said, because I think in some ways that's what we find in our reading today. We find John the Baptist in prison and he's disillusioned because he isn't sure of what Jesus is doing. He was expecting an Elijah-like character. John was no doubt looking forward to the day when Jesus would stand up and confront Herod, topple him from his throne, and become king in his place. After all, Jesus is the king of the Jews, not Herod, who claims he's king of the Jews. Yet, what we find in the gospel narrative is Jesus is working to a different script. John is expecting Jesus to bring judgment, and in a way he will. But it's not just judgment that Jesus is bringing, because he's bringing mercy too, that comes after judgment. Healing comes after a time of sorrow, and it's Jesus' job to bring it. Jesus tells us that this is the main task of the Messiah. He's working to a different script to what people think he is doing. And I think that message is the same for us today in 2024, soon to be 2025. That we think we're doing the right thing because this is what the church does, but Jesus is over here working to a totally different script. And I think the church, like John the Baptist in prison, has become imprisoned and has become disillusioned with what is going on. And it's time for us to step out of prison, out of the walls of the church, shock, horror, and listen to what Jesus is saying and get our priorities back in order. In the Dead Sea Scrolls found at Qumran, there's a passage which predicts when the Messiah comes, he will heal the sick, raise the dead, and bring good news to the poor, and so on. Jesus was doing just that when he walked the earth. Jesus is wanting to continue that ministry through the church. But in the same way that wicked people don't like judgment because it's aimed at them, sometimes good people don't like the idea of mercy because they think people are getting away with stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Yet at the heart of Jesus' messianic mission is mercy. And that is what has to remain at the heart of the church's work today. It's not about letting people get away with things. It's about proclaiming the news that Jesus brought in. It's about welcoming people through the doors, whether they look like us or not. It's about not making people turn around to our way of doing things. It's about us being willing to say, okay, you've brought something new. Let's change how we do it, because it will open up new avenues for us. It's not about maintaining the status quo in the church. It's about listening to what Jesus is saying and going with it. And that will make us look different. It will take us out of our comfort zones. But if that's what Jesus wants us to do, then that's the way the church is going. It might be a script, and it probably is a script, that society doesn't want us to follow. But it's the way we have to go. Because that is where and how we see God at work in the world today. The church has to be teaching the person of Jesus. We have to be reminding people outside that he is the Messiah. And if people don't like the message of Jesus, well, I'm afraid there's not much that we can do about it. Because what other message is there? We haven't another message to teach. The gospel isn't something that we can alter and adjust to make people feel good. The gospel will and does offend, and it has to. That, friends, is where we run into issues with society. Because the gospel offends society. But we shouldn't be surprised. Because when we read what Jesus did when he walked this earth, he offended society. So why should we feel that we're any different? We have to stick to the gospel, and it will offend people. But if we are following the message of Jesus, then we're doing the right thing and we're on the right track. I believe that the church is going through a refining process at the moment. And yes, it is a very painful place to be. It's never going to be easy being refined by God. But there is a reason for the difficulties that we face today. I believe it is a wake-up call from God to get us to rethink what the church is actually here for, what the church actually stands for. It's not somewhere we go to feel good about ourselves on a Sunday. The church isn't the place to go to where we get busy to forget about the world. The church is the place where we go to. So we too, as individuals, go through that refining process to become more like Jesus. In the reading we had today, we see John in prison. Why? Because Herod had taken exception to his preaching and announcing that God's kingdom was on the way. And he was preaching that Herod wasn't the real king. That's what challenged society back then. And yes, it resulted in John being put in prison and ultimately to his death. When we read scripture, we see people proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and getting people's backs up. Society doesn't like it. So why should we think we should be any different in 2024? Well, actually, I can't go into this place and preach the good news of Jesus, so I might upset people. Well, read scripture. I can't go and do this and talk about Jesus because it'll offend people. And Jesus offended people. It's right there in scripture. We have to be bold. We have to start speaking up for the gospel once again. We need to learn to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in season and out of season. We need to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in society, even though they will try and drown us out. At the end of the day, if we've proclaimed the message, it's up to God to do what God can do. Even if we feel it's been a total failure, nothing is wasted in the kingdom of God. It's one of the reasons why these last couple of weeks we've spent time looking at what it means to be set on fire for God and by God. That we need to be out in the mission field. That we need to be committed to Jesus. I believe it is a call for the church now to do more. Not more busy activities. Not more things that make us feel good. But more outside. More preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Because boy, does the world need to hear it more so now, I think, than ever before. It's about reorganizing our priorities and preaching Jesus Christ, the one who came, the one who died, and the one who rose again to save us from our sins. It's about being committed to God. It's about being committed for the kingdom. It's about being set on fire with a deep love for God and for his people and for the broken and those that don't yet know him. Because if we just focus on ourselves, we're missing the point of the gospel. We have to be focusing on those who need to hear the good news, and we have to preach it. So where are our priorities today? Where are the priorities of the church? Are we set on creating a program of activities that make us feel good, that make us look like we're doing stuff and being active? Or do we need to take a step back from all that we do and actually check that it's what God is wanting us to do, so that we can be focused on what he is asking of us, so that we can truly be preaching the good news that Jesus has come and that he is coming back? That's what Advent's about. Remembering Jesus as the baby and Jesus coming back. It is going to be painful. It is a painful time for the church. It's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking to see all that's going on in the Church of England in so many different ways. Trust in the church has eroded. We are too institutionalized. And I believe that as we get closer to the manger this year, God is asking us to move away from the institution and doing what the world expects. And we need to start to become the church that God wants us to be once again. He wants us to be a church that represents him. He wants us to be a church that preaches the good news. He wants us to be a church that preaches the gospel, not that panders to society. He wants us to be a church where people can come and feel safe and not be at risk. He wants us to be a church where people are welcome through the door, no matter what their background is, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter whether they're young or whether they are old. He wants people to be welcomed into his family. And that's going to be a refining process for us. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge because it will upset the status quo. But Jesus upset the status quo. So why should we think it's going to be any different once again? We tend to get caught up in all that's going on, and we become retrospective rather than thinking about what is to come. Jesus is the one the world was waiting for back then. Jesus is the one that the world is waiting for now. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus back then. The church should be preparing the way for Jesus now. And the mess that we find ourselves in is perhaps a wake-up call from the Lord to go back to what the church should be, to be effective for mission, to be effective in welcoming people into the family of God. Hope is on the way. Jesus is on his way. Jesus is the fulfillment of all that we need as individuals and as the church. Jesus is the one who brings hope. He is the one who brings healing. He is the one who brings restoration. He is the one who I believe is going to revive his church once again. He is the one that's going to get through the mess that we've got ourselves in. He's going to scrape away all the rubbish that we've put on the church. And he's going to make it effective once again. Why? Because Jesus loves his church. And Jesus loves those of us who proclaim him as our Lord and our Savior. He brings what the world needs, even if the world isn't ready to hear it yet. The church has not prepared the way, and we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves to become effective once again. Because when we meet Jesus, we should be changed by that encounter with him, and we should never recover from it. Because it changes us inside forever. That is the power of the gospel. We see Jesus at work in our lives. We see Jesus at work in his church. Yet, even now, we are still slow to believe. Was that really Jesus that did that? Did Jesus really turn up when we celebrated communion? Or was it just a nice fuzzy feeling inside of ourselves? We're slow to believe, yet we long to believe. Because we see the things we read about in Scripture. We long to see the advancing kingdom of God in the here and the now. Yet, like John the Baptist, I think many of us are actually just disillusioned, let down, and perplexed. Because we don't see the stuff happening that we read about in Scripture. Much has been promised, but all we tend to see is failure. We hear the prophecies. We hear the words. We hear the promise of revival. Yet we see little change.
Our hopes are raised,
but they come to nothing. In the same way that on the road to Emmaus, those who were walking felt a burning heart when Jesus was with them and talking about the scriptures. We too need to have one of those encounters when Jesus is revealing the scriptures to us once again and our hearts are set on fire for him, to have that burning heart. Yet the problem is we fireproofed our lives too much. We fireproofed our lives with busyness in the church. We fireproofed our lives with being busy at home. And we fireproofed our lives by being busy at work. We fireproofed our church services that have to conform and follow a certain pattern. We fireproofed our mission by limiting it to where we feel comfortable. We fireproofed the church by wanting to maintain the status quo. And like John, who was literally in prison, we've been imprisoned by fireproofing our lives and becoming disillusioned. Friends, it's time for the church to shake off that fireproofing that we've put on ourselves. It's time for ourselves and the church to wake up, to be set on fire by God once again. It's time to remove the fireproofing around ourselves that this Christmas will just be another Christmas. It'll be all the same stuff. It'll be carols by candlelight. It'll be beer and carols. It'll be midnight communion. It'll be a family service. It's time to scrap that way of thinking and start thinking, okay, God, we've got beer and carols. Where are you going to be when we proclaim the gospel in the pub by singing those carols? Where are you going to be when we welcome people into this church at carols by candlelight and we preach the good news of Jesus Christ? When we read the ancient prophecies, we read Jesus coming as a baby and we hear all that he does. When we get to midnight and we welcome Jesus in, it's not just going to be a nice little service at night when it's dark to celebrate as Christians. It's going to be welcoming Jesus, the light of the world, who has come to save the world. Yet the church has perhaps stopped him. So let's get rid of the fireproofing we put on ourselves. Let's allow ourselves to be set on fire once again. It's time to look beyond the well-known Christmas story and look behind what is happening. It's time to look behind the idea of a church service being just about conformity. But it's about looking to see where Jesus is at work and getting alongside what Jesus is doing. So I want to encourage us this morning. That all sounds quite glum, but I want to encourage us, friends. Let's rip off that fireproofing we've wrapped around ourselves. Let's look for what God is going to be doing this Christmas. Let's look for what God has in store for us in 2025. Let's allow God to set our hearts on fire once again with love for him and love for the lost, love for the hurting, love for the world. Because then, truly then, we will be a church on fire for mission. And then the church will make a difference to the world. Because that is what God wants us to do. So back to the question I asked when I began. What's important in your life right now? Amen.